Okay, so what should we talk about tonight? So, you're the host, what questions do you have?
Would you like to speak?
Well, what would everybody like to hear about? Topics. Give me a topic.
Joppa.
Joppa! What about Joppa? I mean, what would you like to know about Joppa? That's a broad topic.
Obstacles for Joppa.
Obstacles? The other door.
Deep Joppa.
All right. Well, then we have the topic that I've been talking about recently is Niyamagraha. Niyamagraha, and we talked about this a lot the last few days. Niyamagraha basically means taking the rules and regulations as the all in all, or taking the aspects of Krishna consciousness, including japa, as rituals. Like in every religion, there's different rituals. Like in the Christian religion, there's genuflection, so all sorts of different things that people bow down at a certain time, and we bow down at a certain time, we offer obeisances. So after doing something for some period of time, we sort of become ritualistic at doing it. And as I mentioned the other day, it's like putting ourselves on automatic pilot. And we take things for granted. And we take for granted association with the spiritual master. I was listening to one remembrance of Srila Prabhupada's servant today. And he was talking about that he knew someone who was another servant of Srila Prabhupada for many, many years. And the person left the service for Srila Prabhupada because he was beginning to see Srila Prabhupada as an ordinary person. Therefore, it's described that one should not approach the deity or approach the spiritual master unless they're actually very advanced, at least have constant association with them, because after a while there's this principle called complacency. You know what complacency means? No. Complacency means you just think, this is just a regular guy or a regular, the deities or whatever. It's just Krishna there or just, whatever. It's just a ritual. So you take it for granted, and therefore you don't have the proper respect or reverence, or you even start to think that the deity is made of stone, which is like you have Govardhan Shiva's here and Shalagram Shiva's, or the deity is made of marble or brass or whatever, and the spiritual master is an ordinary person, of course. Acharya man jnanyam navamanye takari chitna marchi sudya bhuyayta sudyayta sarvadeva mayoguru. That no one should see the deity made of stone or the spiritual master as an ordinary person. In fact, that's considered to be hellish intelligence. But that naturally arises when one is doing, too close to the deities all the time, unless one is very advanced. So it happens with the holy names too. When we first take up chanting, we're very reverential towards the holy names. And we pay a lot of attention. I remember the first time I started chanting Hare Krishna, it was just like, I was so attentive, it was incredible. Because I was thinking, wow. The thing that impressed me about chanting the most in the beginning was that the Krishna is my best friend. Like Krishna says in the Gita, Gokaram Jagatapasam Sarvalokaheshram Suradam Sarvabhutanam Yatap Katwa Mam Shanti Mrichati. Krishna is the friend, the real well-wishing friend. And so I was thinking I can carry my best friend with me all the time. Isn't this cool? Your best friend is with you. You don't have to call. Of course, at that time we didn't have mobile phones. But so it was like better than mobile phones. You can just go, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, and your best friend is with you, God. Wow. And he can save you at any time. He can give you anything. He's a desire, you know, desire tree. You know, wow. So I go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I remember when I first started chanting, it was like that. It was like, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Then after a while, you know, then 16 rounds, okay. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram, Ram. And after a while, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram. When are we going to eat later? Ram, Ram, Hare Hare. Not really. I mean, I'm just giving a typical scenario there. So we become inattentive while chanting, because we're not appreciating the great benediction that the holy names have. So we forget. We forget, we're not appreciative. And also, when one's consciousness is elevated to a certain extent, you forget how low you were before. Isn't it? Like, for example, if you go up in the building, I was just visiting my mother. She lives on the 8th floor. You understand? So unless you look out the window, you don't realize that you're on the 8th floor. You just think, you know, wherever, you know, just on the floor. So, and also, especially if you jump out, you really realize you're on the 8th floor. This is a penthouse apartment. So, so the same thing with our consciousness. When we first join, then we feel this real elevation of consciousness, and we put our consciousness up there. And then we forget what it was like to be completely miserable before we came to Krishna consciousness. Or maybe we weren't like 100% miserable, but at least we were a lot sadder. And we've experienced happiness because, as Rupa Goswami says in the Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, one of the first things you get in Krishna consciousness, of course, immediate relief from all distress. He says that's the first thing. Auspiciousness, transcendental happiness. So, therefore, we tend to neglect the process of Krishna consciousness because we're not as thankful anymore. We're too familiar with the holy names. And we have to keep reminding ourselves. The solution, of course, is to keep reminding ourselves about the potency of the holy name. And in order to do that, the solution is to actually always be studying Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prayers, 8 prayers, the Sikshashita, which you all recite here every morning. Isn't it? I think you all recite, I'm hearing it every morning. And so, to be remembering, you know, Chaito Dharpana Marjanam Baba Mahadvadvin Bhaparanam, that our heart is being cleansed by the holy names. It brings victory. I mean, there's different translations of the Sikshashita that you can read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I was giving a class about the Sikshashika the other day in America, and I was using the translations that Prabhupada gives in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. They're actually quite amazing, those translations. Maybe I should read them, because they're actually quite different from what the devotees normally recite. I'll read them because I have them here. In the modern day and age, you have everything in your pocket. All right. Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chalila. Last chapter. And you really get a good understanding of Sikshashika by reading these particular quotes right here, starting with the first Sikshashika. Actually, Lord Chaitanya gives an introduction to the Sikshashika here. He has his first verse before he actually begins the Sikshashika. Nama Sankirtana Hoite Sarvara Natanash Sarva Shuvoldaya Krishna Premera Ulas. Says, simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, one can be freed from all undesirable habits. This is the means of awakening all good fortune and initiating the flow of waves of love of Krishna. And I'm not going to read the Sanskrit for it, but Let me read the English for the Shikshashika prayers. First one is, let there be all victory for the chanting of the holy names of Lord Krishna, which can cleanse the mirror of the heart and stop the miseries of the blazing fire of material existence. That chanting is the waxing moon that spreads the white lotus of good fortune for all living entities. It is the life and soul of all education. The chanting of the holy name of Krishna expands the blissful ocean of transcendental life. It gives a cooling effect to everyone and enables one to taste the full nectar at every step. So in the Shikshashika is arranged in terms of the various stages of devotional service. There's different analyses that have been presented by the acharyas. One analysis is that the beginning, the first few verses of the Shikshashika indicate what we call sambandha jnana. And then sambandha means the understanding of the relationship between Krishna, the living entities, the material world, and all the different relationships. And then you have abhideya jnana, which means how, the first verse is actually sambandha, which is basically a basic philosophical understanding. And then after that there's abhideya, that means the practice of Krishna consciousness, and the last verses indicate prayojana, the ultimate goal of Krishna consciousness. Another analysis of the Shikshashika is that each verse indicates one of the stages of advancement in devotional service, beginning with Ado, Shraddha, Tata, Sadhana, Tara, Bhajana, Kriya, which is Rupa Goswami's analysis. That in the beginning there is faith, then after faith, one begins to associate with the devotees, then perform bhajana, and gets rid of the unwanted things in the heart, and artha-nivritti-shat. One becomes nishta, steady in devotional service, and then after nishta, ruchi, then ashakti, one becomes completely attached to Krishna, then one gets bhava, you know, the emotions, preliminary emotions, and then finally prema. So the acharyas, like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, they connect each one of the verses to one of those stages of devotional service. And then also the acharyas connect the different verses of the Shikshashtika to the different times of the day of Krishna's what we call Ashtakaliya Leela. Ashtakaliya Leela, you give me the offering or something? Yeah, that's fine. So Ashtakaliya Leela means that Krishna does different things at different times of the day. Then it comes a shock. He doesn't sit around all day long waiting for someone to call him on the phone. So Krishna has these eightfold pastimes, or eight times of the day in which he does different things. In the morning, actually, first thing, he wakes up, just like this first verse in the Shikshashtika, Cheto Darpana Marjanam, that he wakes up in the morning, but he's in his pastimes. You understand everything I'm saying? And let me go? No. More or less. So he's in his pastimes with Radharani in the Kunj, like he chants every morning. Jai Radha Madhava Kunj Vihari. That he's, and he wakes up and he figures he should get home, because he's going to be discovered as not being home by Mother Yashoda. So that's the first verse. Anyway, then he runs home, and it's described by the acharyas, when he runs home, he puts on Radharani's dress instead of his own dress. And anyway, he explains to Mother Yashoda later on that it was Balaram's clothes, but that's another story. But anyway, I'm not going to get into those details. So each verse in the Shikshashtika refers to a different time in Krishna's day, which is interesting. And also, each verse of the Shikshashtika refers to part of the Maha Mantra. Like we have eight parts of the Maha Mantra, right? 16 words, but it's Hare Krishna is what is the first verse of the Shikshashtika. Hare Krishna, and then Hare Krishna, another second verse. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Then you got four verses right there, right? And then you got Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then you get. So each of the, I mean, it's really an esoteric analysis. I hope I'm not going too far with this. is an esoteric analysis of the holy names, of the Shivshastika, of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. And anyway, it's an amazing analysis. So in other words, let me just summarize the whole thing. Each verse of the Shivshastika refers to a stage in devotional service. It refers to a time in Krishna's day of his pastimes. It refers to a particular pair of words in the Maha Mantra. So it's quite a lot to remember, isn't it? It's not that when you're chanting Hare Krishna, you should be thinking, okay, now it's the morning, Hare Krishna. Now it's a little later when Krishna's eating, Hare Krishna. Now Krishna's going out to herd the cows, Krishna, Krishna. And then, Hare Hare, now it's the noontime. So anyway, you can't do that. But anyway, so it's really a deep meditation. In other words, you're asking me how to chant with more attention. So I'm giving you positive instructions how to do that. You can have a deep meditation upon the holy names, how they're connected to the Shikshashta, connected to Krishna's day. And of course, the holy name itself is a calling out to Krishna and Radharani. We were talking about this the other day, that there's the vocative form of words. Vocative means to call out. Yesterday we were talking about that. Hare is vocative, calling out. Krishna is vocative, calling out. Oh Krishna, oh Radharani, oh energy of the Lord. And Vali Ram means to call out too. So anyway, so that's the general explanation of the Shashaka. And let's read the... I should have read some more of these verses that explain the Shikshastika, which are very interesting. By performing congregational chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, one can destroy the sinful condition of material existence. Lord Chaitanya is actually explaining or giving his own purport to each verse of the Shikshastika, which is interesting. It can destroy the sinful condition of material existence, purify the unclean heart, and awaken all varieties of devotional service. Then Lord Chaitanya says, the result of chanting, this of course is Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writing, who was actually paraphrasing Lord Chaitanya, was actually quoting Lord Chaitanya. The result of chanting is that one awakens his love for Krishna and tastes transcendental bliss. Ultimately, one attains the association of Krishna and engages in his devotional service as if immersing himself in great love. Then, after quoting that verse, try to understand what's happening with Lord Chaitanya. That these are different moods in Lord Chaitanya's heart as he's quoting these verses. Lamentation and humility awoke within Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he began reciting another of the verses. By hearing the meaning of that verse, one can forget all unhappiness and lamentation. So here's the second verse, which is familiar with. You know, I'm not going to read the Sanskrit. My Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, in your holy name there is all good fortune for the living entity, and therefore you have many names such as Krishna and Govinda, by which you expand yourself. You have invested your potencies in these names, and there are no hard and fast rules for remembering them. My dear Lord, although you bestow such mercy upon the fallen conditioned souls by liberally teaching your holy name, I am so unfortunate that I commit offenses while chanting the holy name, and therefore I do not achieve attachment for them. It's a little different than probably the translation that you're reading in the morning here, isn't it? I mean, I assume the translation you're reading in the morning, because I don't know Slovenia, is the standard one they have in the songbook.
Yeah,
so this is actually a little bit more elaborate translation. And it, you know, it adds, I'm unfortunate that I commit offenses while chanting the holy name. In other words, while one's chanting, if one's not experiencing ecstasy or shivering in the body or tears coming through the eyes, it's described the heart is steel framed, and one should be lamenting. In other words, there should be an emotion. An emotion manifests in one's heart and one's consciousness of lamentation. Oh my God, why don't I have any taste for the holy names? What's wrong with me? oh, Krishna. And then, of course, once you begin to pray to Krishna, and then you understand, the reason I don't have a taste for chanting is because I've committed offenses. The interesting thing is, when you join the Hare Krishna movement, you haven't committed any offenses before joining. Because you haven't come across any devotees. Except on Sankirtan. But really, I mean, you begin to commit offenses after you join the Hare Krishna movement. That's interesting. Isn't it? Because I don't think it's possible to commit offenses, I mean, spirit offenses against the holy name, until you actually join the movement. Is it? I don't think so. Because you're not chanting. You're not chanting, you haven't come across any devotees, and, you know, maybe you don't have any books, you don't have any deities, you don't know offenses. You're pure.
In ignorance.
Yeah, pure in ignorance, but there's no offenses. So it's not that ignorance keeps you from appreciating the holy names, it's offenses. So when you join the movement, then you start to commit offenses. So you shouldn't join the movement. It's a big mistake you made. So that's why we have to be very careful, you know, especially like we're chanting every morning about the spiritual master. What? Vadanvi Savadana Mate. Savadana actually means, in Sanskrit, it means caution. And when you're in India, you see the sign in Hindi all the time, Sarvadan, which means caution, but nobody pays attention to it. So we're like drivers in Hindi, in India, that they don't pay attention. Actually, red light means go faster. Isn't it? I mean, even in India, you know what I'm talking about. And both sides of the road are meant for driving. It doesn't matter. One way means two ways. So, therefore, you know, we're not only with the holy names, but we're not attentive in dealing with each other, we're not attentive in dealing with the deities, we're not attentive in reading anymore. It's just like, you know, I read the Bhagavad Gita, I know I'm not the body. Right? So, we should be lamenting. What's happened to me? I used to be so ecstatic, and now it's just like, I'm dry like a desert. So this is what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because in the previous verse it explains that lamentation and humility awoke in Lord Chaitanya. So this verse is a verse of lamentation, which is interesting. This verse we just read, you know, Nam Namakari Bodha, Nijasarva Shaktis, that you've invested everything in your holy names. That's just the introduction to the verse. But the second part of the verse is, but I have no attraction for it. Even though, you know, I'm paraphrasing the verse in a little different way. Even though there's all ecstasy in the holy names, all your names, I'm not feeling anything. You know, so it's lamentation, you know. Anyway, so it's an important verse. And then here, Lord Chaitanya, next few verses, Lord Chaitanya begins to explain that verse more. He says, because people vary in their desires, you have distributed various holy names by your mercy. Regardless of the time and place, one who chants the holy name, even while eating or sleeping, attains all perfection. Wow. So did you ever try to chant yourself to sleep?
Irregularly.
You know, there's other ways you can count. You can count sheep or something like that. That's a typical non-devotee way. You can count sheep jumping over there. Something.
Maybe we can count cows and calves.
Yeah. But actually, you can chant yourself to sleep. When you chant the holy name, even while eating, like, you have invested your full potencies. See, Lord Chaitanya is just elaborating on this verse. In each individual holy name, but I am so unfortunate that I have no attachment to chanting your holy names. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, O Swarup Damodar Goswami and Ramananda Roy, hear from me the symptoms of how one should chant the Hare Krishna mantra to awaken one very easily to one's dormant love for Krishna. This is interesting. I'll repeat this verse. Lord Chaitanya continued, O Swarup Damodar Goswami and Ramananda Roy, hear from me the symptoms of how, that means the method. How is method? How one should chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra to awaken very easily one's dormant love for Krishna. So, one verse follows the other. In other words, you have lamentation and humility from the Nam Namakari Bhagavad Nija Sarva Shaktis verse. You understand? Then, when one is lamenting like that and feeling, you know, really bad, then you can exhibit humility, which is the next verse. Which is the famous version of one who thinks himself lower than the grass, who is more tolerant than the tree and does not respect personal honor. In other words, first you have to come to the point of understanding, I'm not a good devotee. I don't have any ecstasy. I'm not experiencing ecstasy. You know, when I first joined, I mean, my own personal experience is when I first joined the movement, I thought I was a pure devotee the first day. I thought I had understood my spiritual identity after 2 days in the movement. All the brahmacharis, we would look at each other and say, we must be coward boys. Yeah, I really thought I was fantastic when I first joined the movement. And after some time, Krishna makes you understand you're not. So anyway, So therefore, one verse leads to the emotions of one verse lead to the emotions of the next verse. Does everyone understand this point?
Yes.
And the next verse, of course, is one who thinks himself lower than the grass, who is more tolerant than the tree, and who does not expect personal honor, but is always prepared to give all respect to others, can very easily always chant the holy name of the Lord. So all respect to others means also having no enemies, not hating anyone. As described by Vaishnava, about Vaishnavas by Lord Kapiladeva, Ajata Shatrava Shanta Sadhava Sadhabhushana. That's from the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. That one should have no enemies. One should love everybody. As even we find in Christianity, Jesus Christ gave this golden rule, you know, love the neighbor as thyself. Do unto others. You know, the golden rule in the Old Testament is do unto others as you would have others do unto you. So, until you come to that point, you know, really respecting all others, or paraduka duki, you know, the other descriptions, then you really won't be able to be prepared to experience the nectar from the holy names. Or always chant the holy names. So that's a prerequisite. Prerequisite is actually love and compassion for all living entities. Well, high prerequisite. So these are the symptoms, and Lord Chaitanya continues to explain. These are the symptoms of one who chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Although he is very exalted, he thinks himself lower than the grass on the ground, and like a tree, he tolerates everything in two ways. When a tree is cut down, it does not protest, and even when drying up, it does not ask anyone for water. That's interesting. The tree delivers its fruits, flowers, and whatever else it possesses to anyone and everyone. In other words, a devotee distributes Krishna consciousness. In other words, you have to come to the point of preaching Krishna consciousness to actually come to this platform of Trinada Pisa Nichina Anyway. It tolerates scorching heat and torrents of rain, yet it still gives shelter to everyone. Although a Vaishnava is most exalted person, he is prideless and gives all respect to everyone. That means everyone, including people who are not Krishna conscious. Knowing everyone to be the resting place of Krishna. Wow. Of course, that's almost describing an Uttama Adhikari here. So, as Lord Chaitanya spoke in this way, his humility increased. Notice, this principle of humility is mentioned as a prerequisite to every verse, before every verse. And he began praying to Krishna that he could discharge pure devotional service. So here's Lord Chaitanya. He is Krishna, in the mood of Radharani, and he's feeling, I have no capacity for performing pure devotional service. I mean, this is actually about Radharani's mood. She's not thinking, I'm the greatest devotee of the Lord. She's thinking, I have no capacity. You know, Radharani is actually exhibiting her internal mood here in the Chaitanya Charitamrita in a deeper way than practically any other literature.
Which verses are those?
Which verse? This is the last chapter of the Anjalila. Verse 27, you know, verses 27, you know, beginning with about verse 18 or something like that. The devotee should read this. I mean, this is, if they really want to understand this, Shikshashika. Whenever there is a relationship of love of Godhead, it's natural symptom that the devotee does not think of himself as a devotee. I'll read that again. When there is a relationship of love of Godhead, it's natural symptom that a devotee does not think of himself as a devotee. Instead, he always thinks that he has not even a drop of love for Krishna. So you're asking how to be attentive. So if you're thinking you're a devotee, or an advanced devotee, or proud of it, then not much love for Krishna. Anyway, so let's go on. Next verse, of course, comes from when one feels humility, because then one doesn't have any sense of possession. Until one exhibits humility, one will be trying to possess. Therefore, the next verse is what? Nidanam Nijanam Sundurim. Kavitam Bhaja Bhisha Kamiya. Mama Janmani Janamishra Bhavatad Bhakti Hoytati for you. O Lord of the universe, I do not desire material wealth, materialistic followers, a beautiful wife, or fruit of activities described in flowery language. Lord Chaitanya here is dealing with, you know, brahmanas who like, fruitive activity brahmanas who describe everything in erudite language. All I want life after life is unmotivated devotional service to you. And here, Lord Chaitanya begins to explain this even more. My dear Lord Krishna, I do not want material wealth from you, nor do I want followers, a beautiful wife, or the results of fruitive activity. I only pray that your causeless mercy, you give me pure devotional service to you life after life. Actually, just by hearing these verses, these qualities, I mean, somehow or other, it has the potency, even in English. It awakens these particular moods in oneself. I don't know. I mean, I experience it. Anyway, but I experience the moods when I'm hearing these particular words. English actually has potency, just like Bengali, because if something's used in Krishna service, it's not the language, it's the authorization or the disciplic succession and coming directly from Krishna. So it's not that it's less potent because I'm reciting in English. In great humility, here's another, you know, practically every verse is an exhibition of humility, which is interesting. Notice how this is described here. In great humility, considering himself a conditioned soul of the material world, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again expressed his desire to be endowed with service to the Lord. So these are prayers for service. And, of course, this one is extremely intense. You know, I nanda to nijakinkaram patita mam vishamegavam vidal kuvya tatapada pankajastita duvi sattva sambha chintaya. O my Lord, O Krishna, son of Nanda Maharaj, I am your eternal servant, but because of my own fruit of acts, I have fallen to this horrible ocean of neshas. Now please be causelessly merciful to me. Consider me a particle of dust at your lotus feet. Notice how humility is necessary for every verse. I know I keep saying that, but I'm just reiterating. This humility is actually essential to understand every one of these verses. I am your eternal servant. This is Lord Chaitanya's explanation. But I forgot your lordship. Now I've fallen into the ocean of nations, and I have been conditioned by the external energy. It's interesting. This actually destroys that particular argument where people say that we were never with Krishna before. Because it is Toma Parasadia means forgetting. I have forgotten you. It basically means I have forgotten you. Toma, like two. It's actually very familiar. Tum is actually the familiar. Tum is the familiar to you. In Sanskrit, so Toma Parasariya means, in a very familiar way, I have forgotten you. It's like a lover saying to a beloved, how have I forgotten you? Anyway, and padiyacho, I have fallen. Baba Arnave, in the ocean of nations. Maya Bada Hoy. And it's becoming conditioned by the external energy. Anyway, this is an amazing part of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Be causelessly merciful to me by giving me a place with the particles of dust at your lotus feet, so that I may engage in the service of your lordship as your eternal servant. Then again, next verse. Natural humility and eagerness then awoke in the Lord. So you find this word humility practically in every introductory verse to the Shikshashita. Then awoke in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he prayed to Krishna to be able to chant the Maha Mantra in ecstatic love. And of course, this is famous verse, Nayanam Jaladashu Dadaya, Varanam Gadgada, Vidya Hirakurada, Kichitam Bapukada, Tabinama Grihane Vishati. My dear Lord, when will my eyes be beautified by filling with tears that constantly glide down as I chant your holy name? When will my voice falter and all the hairs on my body stand erect in transcendental happiness as I chant your holy name? Next verse explains that without love of God, my life is useless. Therefore, I pray that you accept me as your servant and give me a salary of ecstatic love of Krishna. Then, next, right before the next verse, separation from Krishna awoke various mellows of distress, again, lamentation, and again, humility. Wow. Thus, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke like a crazy man. So in other words, Lord Chaitanya's emotions are being described here, and these are the emotions that we should be experiencing to understand the Shikshashtaka, the holy names. So you got distress. He's distressed because he can't experience the ecstasy or can't connect with Krishna, and he's feeling himself a non-devotee, and he's lamenting about the whole thing, and then feeling just fallen and humble. So here's the next verse, the famous version, Vaitanya Hishena Chapshusha Pakishalham Chunyayam Jagasarvam Govinda Vidahedame. My Lord Govinda, because of separation from you, I consider it even a moment, a great millennium, tears flow from my eyes like torrents of rain, and I see the whole world as void. Then Lord Chaitanya explains it. In my agitation, a day never ends, for every moment seems like a millennium. Pouring incessant tears, that means tears that never cease. My eyes are like clouds in the rainy season. The three worlds have become void because of separation from Govinda. I feel as if I were burning alive in a slow fire. Lord Krishna has become indifferent to me just to test my love. And my friends say, this is Radharani speaking, better to disregard me. So, you know, Krishna, just to bring out Radharani's love and also her anger sometimes, he appears to be interested in other ladies, like Chandravali. And Krishna's friends, like Lalita and Vishaka, say, better just forget this guy. You know, he's not worth you. And while Srimati Radharani was thinking in this way, the characteristic of natural love became manifest because of her pure heart. The ecstatic symptoms of envy, great eagerness, humility, again humility, zeal and supplication all became manifest at once. In that mood, the mind of Srimati Radharani was agitated, and therefore she spoke a verse of advanced devotion to her friends. In the same spirit of ecstasy, Lord Chaitanya recited this verse, and as soon as he did so, he felt like Srimati Radharani. That's not for us. Asli Shiva Pada Padaratam Panashkumam Darshanam Aravidam Guru Padva Vita Tata Bhava Vidatu Lampato Mat Pananatas Tisa Vidapara. Let Krishna tightly embrace this maidservant who has fallen at his lotus feet, or let him trample me or break my heart by not being visible to me. He is a debauchee, after all. Debauchee means someone who runs around with other ladies. In case you didn't know. You know, after
after all.
And he can do whatever he likes, but still he alone and no one else is the worshipful Lord of my heart. And Lord Chaitanya explains this. I'm a maidservant at the lotus feet of Krishna. He is the embodiment of transcendental happiness and mellows. If he likes, he can tightly embrace me and make me feel oneness with him. Or by not giving me his audience, he may corrode my mind and body. Nevertheless, it is he who is the Lord of my life. Now you'll notice, these are also expressions of humility. Not that, you know, I'm Radharani. What is it? What does this guy do? I mean, sometimes Radharani does exhibit her mind or anger to please Krishna. My dear friend, just hear the decision of my mind. Krishna is the Lord of my life in all conditions, whether he shows me affection or kills me by giving me unhappiness. Sometimes Krishna gives up the company of the other gopis and becomes controlled, mind and body by me, and thus he manifests my good fortune and gives others distress by performing his loving affairs with me. Or since, after all, he is a very cunning, obstinate debauchee, with a propensity to cheat, he takes to the company of other women. He then indulges in loving affairs with them in front of me to give me distress. Nonetheless, he is still the Lord of my life. I do not mind my, this is for us, my personal distress. I only wish for the happiness of Krishna, for his happiness is the goal of my life. However, if he feels great happiness in giving me distress, that distress is the best of my happiness. Anyway, so this is basically, there's more to this. So, if you read this last chapter, Shikshasha, you try to understand the different moods that Lord Chaitanya is experiencing and expressing, then your chanting will increase. The quality of your chanting will increase. Does that answer your question? Okay, any other questions? I mean, it's quite interesting, isn't it? The verses explaining, I mean, just the translations. These are my favorite translations. I mean, I don't know who did the translations in the songbook. Prabhupada did. Someone else did the translations. But these have been done directly by Prabhupada. These translations. Relying on the Anubhash of the commentary of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So these are like purported translations. As all of Prabhupada's translations are. Prabhupada's, you know, some Sanskrit experts notice that sometimes Prabhupada's translations are not literal translations, but he's giving a translation based upon his realization and his reading of the previous Acharya's commentaries of the verses. So they're very deep translations. They're not just like a literal academic translation of the verse, but actually what Krishna is saying, what Swami is saying, or what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying. Okay? Any other questions? Yeah?
I'm not even sure how to formulate it. But, we proclaim that everybody is a devotee. I'm not. I'm like Lord of the blessed grass, whatever, blade of grass. And but like, if I'm sincere, then the common sense tells me that I'm just like everybody else, more or less, plus minus. So then, like, on one hand, I'm supposed to treat devotees as I don't know, trees of desires and.
Desire
trees and things like that. On the other hand, my common sense tells me that probably they're beginners, most of them, like me. Yet I have seen, like, in my experiences, that one thing I've realized, that they can sometimes manifest a true miracle, that sometimes this somebody who is, like, supposed to be a normal human being can be
really... do something amazing,
exactly. But, can you give a recipe how to be sincere?
In humility.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
first of all, the way you can be sincere in humility is that I, you know, just think that I'm lower than everybody else is to understand that you've been given. The reason one can think like that in one's mind is that we've been given this highest knowledge and I've not taken advantage of it, whereas everybody else has not been given this knowledge. So they're not really at fault.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at fault. You know, it's considered lower to have the ability to do something or understand it and not take advantage of it. That's lower than someone who's never been given the ability or knowledge. So that's one way you can phrase it in your mind.
But that's towards non-devotees.
Yes.
What about devotees?
Well, devotees, the same thing. We should appreciate, like Prabhupada said, we should be like the bees looking for the honey rather than like the buds, you know, the flies looking for the sores or looking for the stool.
Yeah.
So we should focus on both. I mean, obviously, we can't be blind to someone who, you know, is exhibiting like extremely negative characteristics. But we should focus our mind on the good qualities. I mean, that's what I do that. I do that all the time with my disciples. Anyway. I can't look and find the faults. I just have to look at the good things. What do they say? That mother has seen a blind son as low as I... Anyways. No, but I do that with people. I see the good qualities. And you just have to focus your mind in such a way that you don't... You may be aware of the other things, but you don't dwell on them. You don't meditate on them. You dwell on whatever little good quality you see. Even if it's just one little good quality, you know, they chant. Like it says, if someone chants Hare Krishna once, you're supposed to offer respects to them in the mind, right? So you say, wow, you chanted Hare Krishna. So what I do is when I'm talking to people, if someone says, wow, all I can do is chant one round a day, I don't think, what? Only one round a day? You know, nonsense. I'm thinking, that's great. Of course, with initiated devotees. See, my guru is very merciful. You know, he thinks he's great and only chanting one round a day. But, I just feel overwhelmed with gratefulness and happiness when I see someone doing a little something. And that's the way to deal with it. You're aware of the other things, you know, whether the guy's smoking marijuana. At the same time. You know, but, I mean, it's not that you're not aware, but it's not the focal point of your, you know, focus. You're focusing on whatever good the person is doing. And that way you can see yourself as lower and see the other person as very exalted. And then you just understand that I have this greatest thing, and I have no taste for chanting. You know, I'm serving Krishna, you know, just like I can think that I joined the Hare Krishna movement in 1971. And now it's, God knows how many years later. Almost 50, anyway. Almost 50 years later. And, oh my God, I haven't seen Krishna. I haven't shook hands with Krishna yet, you know. After all these years. So, I mean, you can think like that in a lot. And then I look at all the younger devotees, how much traction they have for chanting and doing this and doing that. And I just said, wow. Much more advanced than me. Anyway, that has to be that particular move. What do you think?
I'm thinking like, I understand what you mean, but...
It's a question of focusing your...
It's not that some new devotee could be more advanced than you. Like, no way.
Why not?
Because, like... I mean,
why not? How do you know they're new?
Okay, there can be some devotee who came like, you know, son of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, like Bhaktisiddhanta.
There's one little boy in our community in the United States.
The one who chants.
Yeah, you seen it? Yeah. Verse, yeah, well, during the Sunday feast, I ask him all the verses, and he knows all the verses. He's like 8 years old. Ayush is his name.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm thinking, oh my God, who is this guy? You know? And, you know, it's just a question of concentrating on someone's good qualities rather than on the bad qualities. And then when you appreciate someone's good qualities so much, it's not that you necessarily think less of yourself, but you think of yourself less. You know, we shouldn't misunderstand these injunctions that we should just like be concentrated in how lousy we are 24 hours a day. But it's less concentration on ourselves, less attention to ourselves, and appreciate. It's just a question of appreciation. Then you don't even think about how. I mean, I don't think about how advanced or not advanced I am. You know, I just think of, you know, when I see someone in general, I just think of, you know, how wonderful is it doing this or doing that? And that's how humility arises. Actually, there's one interesting thing, instruction Prabhupada gave. One of his servants, Prabhupada, you know, he was explaining to Prabhupada he didn't have enough time to read and everything. He said, I really want to become Krishna conscious. And Prabhupada said something like, it's not that I want to become Krishna conscious, I want to serve my guru. Anyways, that was an intense type of statement. So, of course, it's a fact that when you serve the spiritual master, you become Krishna conscious. So I think it's just a question of appreciating people's Krishna consciousness and not paying attention to your own Krishna consciousness. What do you think?
I think it's a different angle to look at it, and I have to think your answer over.
Yeah.
So it's like to try to get the, how to say, point of view from which you're speaking.
Yeah.
To apply it.
Just like when I see your husband's driving, instead of criticizing, I think, boy, he's by the mercy of Krishna, he's helping me become Krishna conscious and chant my japa better. become more attentive and not sleep in the car, you know. So it's a positive way of looking at it. I said, isn't it wonderful he drives like this?